substantial thing, and he will be, I think it'll, and also I think it'll be good for him to get to know your people. He's never been there.
Never
been to Asia. He was in the Pacific, kind of the war, and I was, but he never been there, and I wanted to go see it. And so, that's what I've got in mind, that we'll work that out.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I've got to do this.
Thank you.
How's your dog? Pretty good.
Our old secretaries.
or not harm. I'm not suggesting for that that you move away from what basically is international posture between the colored young man. But I do suggest that his job is mentioned, and as he is quite aware, and he's absolutely right, if anything, he may be even underestimating the problem. There is a very growing disenchantment in this country. You saw what happened, for example, in foreign relations committee before and yesterday. Well, it isn't just foreign, it's everything. You know what I mean? Americans these days, it's very interesting. When you first came in the cabinet 10 years ago, when we corrected, perhaps, we're talking about the American playing a great role in the world now. There's just an awful lot of Americans that don't want to play any role. Vietnam, it's all these foreigners, so to speak, and so forth and so on. So for that reason, I think what we need in this position is not only somebody with the experience and skill to handle it as you can, but also someone who is attuned to and sensitive to to these considerations. Now what this really gets down to is this, that American foreign policy is involved in some of these problems, you know. I mean, you get at the one extreme end of the spectrum, you've got this conflict by the idea that they're expropriations, and at the other ends of the spectrum, you've got the problem next to the
ambition or their desire to do it. But more than that,
say. Now, part of what we have to do is, at a time when these developed countries are asking for special preferential trade arrangements, aid, assistance, we're going to have to see, and y'all are a powerful factor, more powerful than any other institution in the world, to try to see that they have some stability, political and economic. Now, hell, as you well know, this country came long, continued to support the Inter-American Development Bank or other institutions, loans, assistance to countries like Chile. They just take you over and you say, oh, we're not going to pay you anything. We just can't do that. American people are not going to stand for it anymore. And they ought not to. And so I think it's part of what we do. It's going to depend on the recognition that for so long, and you know this much better than I do, we were able, because of the inherent strength relative to other countries, we were able to take both political and military decisions without great reliance on the economic basis for it. But perhaps we've entered into a new era now where the economics of our situation, both domestically and internationally, are going to have to be looked at first. And I think this is true in our relations with other countries. And the president yesterday talked to him and me about the fact that we couldn't expect American business interests to go out and deal with respect to raw materials with other nations on an equal basis. That we're going to have to provide some basis. United States government between American business interests and other countries to give them some measure of protection. Now, y'all can do that too. The World Bank can be a very powerful force in trade with these other countries. You just can't have it both ways. You just can't expect the capital, the technology, the talents, the manpower to develop your industries and then you export them. You just can't expect that to keep on because it's not going to happen. So that's absolutely right.
We have enough for 2 months.
It is long, Mr. President.
for doing it.
And as recently as a few months ago, Guyana was getting ready to nationalize Alcan. We had a loan in process for Guyana at the time. Canada was a major party in interest, as was the U.S. We talked to Canada. Canada, for tactical reasons, thought it was wise to go ahead with this loan, believing that to withdraw support from Burma at the time would weaken him and run the risk of the communists coming in, and moreover, that they could negotiate a satisfactory compensation agreement better if this loan went through. So we talked to the U.S. The U.S. was cool, lukewarm. The problem was that Canada and the U.S. didn't work together. Now, this happens all the time. And I don't think the U.S. is alone. In the Columbus Journal, the U.S. is a major party in interest because there are more anacondas and kennecups around the world, and the U.S., and particularly in Latin America. And Latin America is a hotbed of expropriation and without adequate compensation today. So the U.S., the other nations tend to withdraw from the U.S. today, and the U.S. has encouraged that because it hasn't supported the Frances and the others and the Algerias. So the first step I would strongly urge is that the U.S. join with other nations. And this is going to be complicated. It can't be done overnight. There are some conflicts of interest between Japan and the U.S. or Germany and the U.S. or France and the U.S. But in the long run, no one of these countries can stand alone. Nor can we in the international institutions stand alone. At the same time that U.S. firms have been putting money into Peru and these other places, we've been holding back. We haven't made a loan to Algeria, we haven't made a loan to Peru, we haven't made a loan to Chile since the expropriation. But we're the only pure institution in the world. We can't do that. It's impossible for me to stand alone forever. The French would give me hell if we went into France and into Algeria today. Well, I talked to Pompidou about this about a year and a quarter ago. And the French wouldn't tell the Algerians that they had, in a sense, instructed us not to go in there. They wanted me to carry the whole damn load. I can't do that. So we had a deal with Pompidou and Chaban Delmas and Schumann that we carried up until a year ago, September. Now, at that point, we would have to say to the Algerians, you expose all of your detail to us, and we'll judge it, and we think it adequate, we'll go ahead. That's what we did. We still haven't made a loan to them, because as recently as last week, I talked to their finance minister, and they haven't fully disclosed all of the compensation. In fact, what they've been trying to do is clean up the mess in this intervening year, and they've run quite far. But we must have a unified approach between the rich nations of the world, the sources of investment, and the international institutions to deal with this problem, because it's going to get far worse. Look at the rest of Latin America. If you're a political leader in Jamaica, can you stand against Allende? My God, I'm glad I don't own any of the bauxite operations in Jamaica. I would say they're in jeopardy.
Sure. The 40%.
Yeah, exactly. And immigration, I think, is a terrible political problem. So I anticipate the pressure on foreign investment will get worse. The only thing I can suggest to deal with it is to organize those with common interests to put up a common front. So that's the first point, and that's crusade and so on. Secondly, there is one minor action that could be taken that in the long run might be helpful, and that's to join together in an international investment insurance plan. It is presently being considered. It's been under consideration by the World Bank for 3 or 4 years. Since before I came. Japan opposed it up until a year ago. The U.S. opposed it up until a year ago. The French have been in favor of it. Some of the other countries lukewarm. What this would do is provide, in a sense, an international OPIC, so that instead of the U.S. having to pay off the Chilean situation, Anaconda and Kennecott, this would be done by an international group. The advantage of the international group doing it is that France immediately becomes a party of interest in Chile, because its contribution to this international investment insurance would be at risk instead of just OPIC's contribution at risk. The U.S. has first it opposed it up until a year and a half ago. Recently it's been in favor, but moving in a sort of an impractical way. I would suggest you really push behind it and get Japan and France and Britain and Germany in a room. You don't have to do it at the World Bank. Get them in a room and agree on what position, the common position would be, and put the damn thing through. And I'll help in every way I can. Over time, this will tend to consolidate the interests of the donor nations or the captive investment nations and help. You just
is very thing, and individually
can go to Texas very fast.
And we said to them, y'all are getting raw materials from around the world. We've been the subject of expropriations.
That's who we have, but it's coming.
But you're going to be.
Yeah,
it's coming.
But you have to get in and support this.
So Bill Rogers made a strong case. Each of us did.
Well, it's right. This is right.
We would continue to do it.
Bad idea.
I never go any place in the developing world. I don't run into a bunch of Japanese.
They're all over the world.
Correct. Yeah.
Absolutely. I was in Gabon, in West Africa, a few months ago there. I met them in Mauritania. Wherever there are big enterprises, you'll find that the Japanese, they're just...
They're like waiting.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, this 30% raw material processing figure that I gave you for Japan for 1980, I got from the Japanese.
Yes, how they operated in Indonesia with their aid program.
This is exactly
they
right.
They gear their aid program to the extractive industries.
We know.
Yes.
That's the problem. You see, the thing that we talked about, I remember in recollection, must have been a year ago or so when we were talking here. And we never did get any, I think we discussed it, but I wonder if there's, you not only have the worldwide convention to play, and actually, you have a big stick, we have the other international organizations which are running. I mean, you've got the, you know, the Latin American and the
Inter-American Development Bank,
the Haiti Development Bank, and then, of course, there are a different categories. You've got everything from Export-Import Bank, of course, which involves the industry, but nevertheless, it's money. And then, of course, we have our direct aid programs and loans and so forth. Now, obviously, you can't take the international organization and say that it will do what we do. In other words, we have some things we want to do unilaterally and some things we have to do multilaterally. But I think it's take the matter of the attitude toward countries expropriate. That's where everybody ought to be together. Where the United States should not speak with one voice in one area and have somebody else speak with another voice in another area. Where all of our foreign policy should be. I wonder if there's any way we can set up, on a quite informal way, some basis of consultation on this. And I was thinking, like, for example, John and you, and, you know, I don't know enough about these other organizations, but of course, obviously, you can get terms and
sure.
People like that. And just say, now, because, you know, I see some of these things, but Terrence comes in here, you read a great big thick book and a report on what they're doing around the world.
Well, he does a good job.
He's been very responsive.
But he comes to me, but what I'm getting at is there some place in this government where somebody sits down right at the head of the table and looks over the whole deal?
No, man.
That's what I mean. And where, for example, you've got the head of the World Bank, you've got the Latin American, you know. But let's talk about this. And we know we can't call for everyone.
But of course, the truth of the matter is we have to do different policies.
Bob and I talk about that. I'm surprised, sir.
They don't make a loan out here.
But our Export-Import Bank
does make a loan out here.
The Inter-American Development Bank.
It has a completely different policy.
That's right.
But the U.S. supported a loan through the Inter-American Development Bank to Peru at a time that the U.S. was quite properly was refusing to support a loan.
Last week, Mr. President, it has, I don't think, been distributed yet. You signed an order in which, first of all, these decisions are put under you, John,
right,
in international institutions, and secondly, which the presumption is that in cases of expropriation, the American member will vote against loans unless the Secretary of the Treasury specifically rules in favor of it. So, for the first time, we have a coherent American position, but that still doesn't solve the second problem. How, when you get a case like Algeria, you keep Chile, you keep these nations from picking the advanced nations off one by one and using one of them to bail themselves out from the difficulties, and for that we have no mechanism now at all. And that is, I think, on the American side, by having the Secretary in charge of the vote in international institutions, so that unless somebody can convince him to vote yes, the vote is no in expropriation cases. I think we have the control.
What has it been in history?
But previously, it was on a case-by-case basis, which then in the case, then always the State Department would demonstrate that the country concerned wouldn't like it if you voted against it.
Always, of course.
And then...
come to the president.
And, well, no.
You would have time to think about it.
Then you've got these conflicting...
votes. You've got the responsibility on one side and one person in government, and by God, he has got to determine. And not have the Secretary of State says yes, and the Secretary says no. Henry, this is going to...
That's right. It was a bloody fight.
Yeah.
Good.
You recall when we first brought this up about 3 months ago, and you put your work on it then. You got it worked out.
It's now worked out. The president signed it 2 days ago, and it should reach you within a...
I haven't seen it.
Well, it's just whipping its way through the machinery. It's a question of a day.
But we still have a problem of timescale. Mr. President, here's what I hope process of setting this international monetary thing, and we can get everybody in this government to work on it. And this is why I keep talking about trade, defense, partnership, just to keep that on the street. And monetary. But out of this whole thing, I think we have to go with it. I don't make any question. I think you can get out of Germany. France will be tough. Let me put it in a totally different context, which you of course are now a monitor, but you were naturally the ruler in national security years. You sat in here as we now wrestle with these problems in the NSC about foreign policy. When I first came in office, I remember the first press conference I had. It raised holy hell. The State Department put up a wall, and our time to raise hell into about everything, but they didn't particularly about this, because I said there was a linkage, and had to be a linkage in dealing with the Soviet Union between what we did with one deal and what we did with another. We made progress in one deal, we did that with the other. And you know, the Soviet attitude, and this is true of, and it's very true of any intelligent country that's fighting against the Japanese the same way. They are always against linkage. They want to make a deal on what they want, and then debate about what you want. Take, for example, the case of Japan. They were confident. We had help. Okinawa must be handled separately from festivals. You can't link it. Because if you do, you lose your near and near. Many of you, I held, for example, the Time magazine, you recall, had a long piece on Never. In fact, we deny it. And you say, well, why are you holding this up? But we do it. Now, is that correct? Is
no, it? That's right.
And this is what we really enjoy.
Well, we have no express grace. We never really, but then after the first SALT announcement, we let $150 million worth go. After the Berlin Agreement, we let $400 million go. And I will bet that before this administration is over, we're going to have more trade with the Soviet Union than any previous administration has had. But we we'll have a real bundle, but we held it tight until there was major political progress. Now, for 2 years, they were yelling that this was unfair, it wasn't proper. But we have managed to gear it
together. Well, 2 years, what they were saying, in fact, what trade was, and that'll be not here.
That's right.
This is the way it works. But what I'm suggesting here is this. You can't talk that way, obviously. But what I'm suggesting is that what we need within our whole approach to this international thing is that there needs to be an overview where decisions with regard to loans, decisions on important political matters and others are at least discussed in another context. And I think as a result of that, we might get quite a policy out of it. Now you have an old stroke. You've got a big stroke. I mean, my travels around where I know nothing about the World Bank and the rest, but you've got the best organization. In fact, as you well know, you do these little countries a hell of a favor when you go in and insist on standards for loans. Because if you insist on the standards, you'd be making bad loans, and that does no favor to these people. And you're a very tough one. I mean, what I'm suggesting that on occasion, I think that what we should do, and I think you would want, if you indicated before, what we'd like to do is to work it out so that we can do our own thinking in this shop a little better and have it more, where we can, and I'm not speaking simply in the sort of a paper which looks at solely from an international economic sense, but you've got to tie the international and the political and everything together. We're the great changes that are taking place in the world today. That's of course. Let's look ahead 5 or 10 years from now. Look ahead 5 or 10 years from now. The Japanese are going to be an increasingly significant competitor. When the United Europe will have 300 million people and moving as one, maybe. When the Chinese, as they begin to open up, even with that miserable kind of a government, 750 million Chinese are going to be a hell of a factor in the world. And the Russians, even with theirs, you know, they've got certain strands, and they've got ways to move these deals that are totally different from ours. I don't mean in order to deal with these other people, we have to be as they are. But we sometimes may have to do as they do. Do as they do in terms that if they approach some of these problems and other than in a purist way, well, now, is this a good thing financially from the standpoint, is this a good loan to make or so forth? Let's look a little further than that. Or is this a case where we are not serving our interests in a broader sense? And I think you would probably welcome the opportunity to talk to John and to Henry.
I'd be delighted. All of us.
Economic decisions on a much broader canvas. We just can't look at it in a narrow way.
don't you need it?
I certainly do, Mr. President. One qualification, you can't, in the economic field, you can't operate by yourself because there are other
caveats at play.
So if you lose, you'll weaken your position unless you get this other support.
Right.
I agree.
And that's why.
Well, here's incidentally one of the places where it seems to me that we're right in place at your point, because that's what you could do.
Yes.
You are a multilateral group, but working within that group,
exactly.
we can be helpful with the United States rather than harm.
Exactly. But the Peruvian Minister Council says to me, look, you haven't made a loan since we expropriated IPC, and this is accepting only that earthquake. That's right. He said, now why haven't
you?
Well, I said, because you haven't even allowed our lawyers down there to examine the basis on which you propose to compensate or not compensate IPC. This is a fact. First, they put criminal charges against the IPC officers. They wouldn't let them back in. So our lawyers say a country must allow the expropriated firm to fully utilize its legal rights. And we say that Peru, you put criminal charges against those officers. They can't therefore exercise their legal rights, so we won't even begin to examine the case. And then the Peruvian minister says to me, yes, but look, the U.S. government hasn't imposed the Hickenlooper Amendment. They therefore haven't determined that we've acted improperly. U.S. firms are continuing to invest in Peru. Japanese firms do. Why do you think you're sitting in a hole? You know, it's a kind of problem, President. We just can't continue to be in that position.
Well, we appreciate your cooperation on that. We'd like to work very closely with you. It may be that what we ought to do, and you suggested this, and John would agree that as time goes on, it might be useful to set up another observable little gathering just to discuss some of these things when you've got it thought through a little bit more. You know, and I, it would be well for people like Henry and others to return to see what matters to them.
Well, when we get that other little group set up, maybe we can
press around here. Well, thanks for your help, and I wish you well in your travels.
Putting it through the World Bank thing on the
principle of the foreign relations committee cut off.
sour grapes.
So that must be, goes to see if Adam is benefiting from the mountain top. But the President of the United States says it, yeah.
Out of the proportions that
you and I know that.
I have.
Now.
Because the woman is that his function?
Basically, I believe it is.
Did he make us a specific one?
Yes, he brought it up. I didn't. He brought up the names. And his argument, of course, is that he's great but not distinguished. You need a distinguished lawyer to strengthen the court, or a distinguished judge to strengthen the court. Now, what I would like to suggest when I talk to Mr. Berger tomorrow, that this is completely unacceptable. He should go about his way. He can't be giving you ultimatums and just go back to his branch of the government and let you run the executive branch with the appointments. This is in effect what I told him yesterday. And I think by the time he got through, he was, you know, a little off the kick, but I'm not sure.
Well, one thing John says that Warren Berger is probably, in terms of the way he's handled it, one of the really best appointments we've made.
I agree.
We're not that proud of that appointment. We can't say that about a hell of a lot of the cats, as you know. We've done the best we could with some mediocrities. Passes with only box 20 votes against it. And John, you know enough about Mother Day, the equal rights thing. It's just foolish, right? But the women are either. These people are a bunch of really fanatics.
Say, your friend Peggy Heckler was bitching at me last night because the women were really not the public.
I know. Both of these are not Republicans. He's right, is he?
No, he's a Nixon Democrat.
Well,
which all the judges down south, their lawyers are 90% of.
This is a terrible place to have done. The one on television broadcasting, David Shoemaker, has a very big reporter on it. Described her as very attractive, pleasing personality, sensitive, bright, intelligent, conversations, good hosts, and good. I don't know what the hell that means. That's about her deal. He said, absolutely top people qualifications. Tough, fair-minded judge.
David Shoemaker.
Don Farmer reported on Friday. Even though Friday had been with the Ross School Board, the blacks are not trying to leave with segregation. Bill Arnn had a comment that the Senate was not visiting the kind of controversial over here. NBC's Carl Stern said that the EPA asked for more names, that the sticks were disappointing, and black statute. What in the name of God that the EPA is going to make another credit, which included the district judge after this? They didn't that one.
They wouldn't put that out. That's,
how did that come to this?
No, the Stern is a real hatchet man.
The UPI was a higher administration source of the TV region country and checking out a nominee's ability. Good.
That's the story they put out.
Another manager, another damn business. That's good. Stern foresaw a certain fight over at least a half dozen lawyers in Little Rock now looking for ways to defeat him.
That's pure power.
Our writing was under religious segregations. The Arkansas Gazette is most unhappy with the idea of Friday. Joe Rouse said his civil rights group was currently looking into Friday segregationist background. Martin Mitchell hit the female RN selected with voting. She explained, that's my man. But the name of the name. The Jewish seat is vacant, and they went on with that. Well, here's the way I feel. I think the board of murder, and I think the main thing he's got to know is that first, we're going to have a hell of a time on Friday, in my view, because of the segregationist thing. You agree, John?
I think probably so. I think
not because of segregation, no, but because the cases are all they have to hang their hat on, and Rao and that bunch will get it worked over pretty good.
Do you think you can confirm it, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Do you agree?
Yes, the boy agree.
I would believe so. I can't conceive of their having a solid base when he's just a lawyer and hasn't made any racial statements or taken any racial positions or anything like that. I don't think that's enough of a platform. This is different than the Carswell.
That's right. That's right. And he's apparently made no speeches or any public utterances on the outside.
What can be done, John, on Friday? Let's just talk about that one. With regard to getting some of the giant-ass Republicans, can you get Matthias to be boring, John? Some of those masters.
I don't know what I can get Matthias to do after what we said to him yesterday.
Griffin? I do think that it's very important to try to get some public support for you.
Bill Rehnquist, by the way, is trying to get a hold of Clark McGregor to give him some materials.
Clark's out of pocket right now. Oh. He'd be on the armed services thing, but he'd be familiar
with a lot. Well, he's been trying all the time. Okay. One other point.
I want to be sure, John, that we can get a bright and true. You know, we're going to make this bloody battle again. You understand, the segregation thing has nothing to do with it anymore, frankly, any more than Haynesworth's financial issues had anything to do with him. It's because he's a conservative. They know what's involved. They don't want to be conservatives.
On that point, you probably noticed that the Washington Post yesterday or the day before had a snide editorial, and I think I ought to answer that. And if I do it under my name, they'll print it, you know, on their
page
there.
I just wonder what was the editor about?
Well, yeah, I'm on the basis of the approach of the court and the mediocrity, and of course the same line that they used before trying to change the climate of Washington.
It'd be interesting to see if the Washington Post ran into the story of Black when he was appointed. Just as a
Interesting. Do you have access to the morgue?
Sure, I did have a dugout. I went to dugout on Black, and I also went to dugout with anybody in some column on murder with regard to that. I remember somebody told me that they were, isn't that right, John?
Sure.
They referred to him as a mediocre.
I remember this very distinctly. And there wasn't once that there were a number of them, as I recall.
John Dean called me last night about Milford Lilly after the interview. Incidentally, if I could just interrupt you for a moment, and going that way, we don't refer to her as Lilly on the bench, do we? She insisted on that.
She hadn't insisted on anything, and that's why we've referred to her as
Millennium.
Falcone.
Falcone.
And,
well, that Mildred Falcone, go ahead. He says she's the best thing since sliced bread. He's really very impressed. And he worked over Mr. Falcone for some period of time and feels he's not great, but he will not be an impediment.
But why does he like Mildred?
Well, he says she has all the right vibrations on the philosophical things. He said on crime, on administration of justice, civil rights, she just comes down four square. Just couldn't be better.
That's her opinion to show that, except to curse in the field of civil rights, and she hasn't had any of that.
But she has all right answers. She has all right answers, and
John, you will generally find somebody that's hard on law and order is also hard on civil rights.
I agree with that. Look at all the Southerners. There's no Southerner that I know of that's soft on civil rights.
Not a woman.
Or on crime, law and order.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, it's
unless it's something like Irwin.
Yeah. The best story that illustrates it is that, which I really think is, if it could be told adequately, is the Holmes Clarahan story, you know, where Clarahan drives home to the court in horse and buggy days. As he gets out, he says, "Well, good morning, Mr. Justice." He said, "New Justice today." I won't snap back at him. He said, "That's not my job. My job is to play the game according to the rules." And of course, that doesn't mean that he's going to do injustice. It means that at the highest level, that is justice. Justice is not individual and personal. A judge weighs himself above the rules, but it's to play the games according to the Constitution, according to the rules. That's all. That was Frankfurt. And that's why I got what we believe.
That was my speech last Friday, too.
Great. Well, I don't know. I'm sorry about the murder thing. I knew it would come up. Was it a call for you, was it? On the Lily?
On the Lily? No, frankly. The more I see of her, the more I...
Yeah. With regard to Warren, I don't know if Warren could take this in a way that he's got to take the lead on it. I mean, what I meant is he's got to say he says anything that he welcomes the he puts out some story that he can hurt himself and the court if it appears that Warren Burger is opposed to women. That's my point. Now, the woman thing is running strong. I used to think, frankly, John, it was just like people that's nuts like Rita Hauser and when you had work you're all screaming and pressing. They're all acting around. I said, "Jesus, I remember in my law school class, we had a couple of women. They married guys in the class and were taking on business or something." But anyway,
this ball game has changed.
This ball game has changed.
No question about it.
And what it's convinced me to do is I see these women trotting here, you know, this one that we made kind of a tough bait ahead of the Maritime Commission. That nice person that we put on the Civil Service Commission. These are strong, intelligent women, and they aren't about to sit back. It's changed, John. This is coming like becoming almost like India now.
I can tell you that this Lily is not going to be browbeat by anybody on that court.
That may be what they're worried about.
Well, it may be, but she is not going to be.
You get the impression that
Berger is representing others on the court?
I gathered from the long conversation we had yesterday that there was a rather wide discussion of the situation up there yesterday, because he mentioned about Blackman told him how great a advocate Hercule Friday was.
Smart
as hell. No question, but he has more knowledge about